So my boys have been giving me some little fashion pointers and stuff, and so they told me to rock the Adidas today. And so I'm feeling out of place. In fact, Abigail said, tennis shoes today? I was like, the boys said to do it. And so, you know, trying to keep it real with them. Happy New Year, everybody. How's everyone doing? Look at your neighbor and tell them I'm glad you're here. So glad that we got to get together again. Thank you to everyone who joined us on Facebook Live on New Year's Eve day. That was always fun. We were driving. I was not. Cynthia was driving. So before you think I was crazy enough to drive and speak to you on Facebook Live, I wouldn't do that, especially not driving through New Orleans, Louisiana. You want to have all eyes on the road and hands on the wheel. And so anyway, we had a great holiday season, and it's done. How about a little bit of snow this week, y'all? Come on. How many of y'all, that was your first time ever seeing snow? Not on TV, but like in person. That was great, man. We had a lot of fun with that. And so, happy new year. Excited about 2018 and seeking God and growing spiritually this year. Not just having a bunch of things happen, but growing spiritually this year. Beginning of the year, it's always these New Year's resolutions. And people, for some reason, at the beginning of the year, they just have this hope and this expectation. And I like that. I do. Some people are like, oh, get over the whole resolutions thing. You know, you should change every day. But I like it. I think that it's a good reset time for us. And so that's what I'm praying today as we share some things with you, that it's going to be meaningful. It's going to be powerful. So let's pray before we jump in. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this church family, Lord, that you brought together with us today. And Holy Spirit, we want you to do some work in our lives this year. And Lord, we know that you're willing, but Father, you need us to reciprocate that willingness. And so, Lord, today we open our hearts to you. We open our minds to you. We open our lives to you to allow you to come in and work. And Father, we have a lot of expectations about this new year, but we know it would only be possible if you work in our lives. So, Holy Spirit, we give you permission today to come and work in us, come and work on us, and come and work through us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And amen. You know, beginning of the year, you start getting these New Year's resolutions things, and they're great. And, you know, a lot of people, their famous one is about losing weight. That's one of mine. And so, but it's fun to see the resolutions come out on social media, and then a couple days later to see the reactions to those resolutions. Have y'all been seeing that? So I decided to show you a couple of them. So watch this. Go ahead and pop one up there, E. And this is awesome. My goal for 2018 is to accomplish the goals of 2017, which I should have done in 2016, because I promised them in 2014 and planned them in 2013. It's awesome, man. That is fantastic. And then there's this guy. He makes a New Year's mess. I can't look at him without laughing, man. He makes the run at least 3 days a week and sprains his ankle on January 2nd, man. That is fantastic. This one, this year, my goal is to stop crying at school. Oh, that's awesome. This one, didn't go to the gym today, but the cashier's name at McDonald's was Jim. So, same thing. That one's fun. Look at this one. This one I love. My New Year's resolution, get a six-pack. These are fantastic, man. Anyway, Happy New Year. So, you know, we kick off a new year, and first 20 minutes of it, you're doing really good, am I right? You're motivated and all. And then, I don't know, it just feels like we get distracted with what we've always done. And the reality of changing hits us. Like, man, this is harder than I thought. How many of you started working out at the beginning of the year, and like by 10 minutes in, you're like, man, it's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, I need to rethink this whole thing. And so the change is not just a resolution, it's change. And change is challenging. But I do want to encourage you today, if you did make a resolution, and maybe so far you've been doing okay, I want to encourage you to keep going. Or maybe you just, like, after 2 days of the gym thing, you just gave up. Get back in there. All right? Let's not just say, well, I tried and that didn't work. It can work. Let me encourage you today. Get back in there. Start again if you have to. And I believe you can make it. Amen? Look at your neighbor and tell them, you can do this. You got to encourage each other. You can't just have the preacher do it. You got to encourage each other. You can do this. Okay? So I know that there's been a lot of goals and things that you've been thinking about for 2018, and as good as those resolutions and goals are, I just wonder if you have considered some spiritual goals for 2018. If you have thought about, you know, spiritually, what are some of my goals for my life? Because I believe as you go spiritually, that's as you're going to go. And so you can accomplish all those other goals, but you may not have peace. You might look fine after a few months of working out, and you might be just, I mean, just chiseled, but you may not have peace in your heart. You may have everything around you great, but if things on the inside aren't right, then I think we're missing the main point. And so today, what I want to do is I want to help you develop some spiritual goals for 2018. Amen? How many of you are ready to grow spiritually this year? I think a lot of folks come into church today like, this is my year. I'm going to get closer to Jesus. So I just want to throw a couple of them at you that I think you should consider for 2018, okay? Some spiritual goals for 2018. The first one would be this, is to stay committed. To stay committed. And the reason why I say that is because as we're planning all these new things that we feel like we need to do, we forget about the main things that we should continue to do. Amen? We make a new commitment to a new thing, but we forget about the original thing, the main things that we're supposed to be a part of. And so some of the things that I began to think about that we needed to be committed to, stay committed to, is things like our spouse and our family. Can I get a hand clap for that? We should stay committed to our families. I mean, get your gym membership, but like, don't roll out on the family. Amen? That's good. I mean, go get that new job, but don't forget about the kids. Don't forget about the wife. Amen. So let's make sure that we're staying committed even as we're gaining these new goals and stepping into new territory. I think we got to remember, wait a minute, I got some big commitments in my life and I need to stay committed to it. Amen. I need to stay committed to God. I need to stay committed to the church. Amen. Come on, elbow your neighbor and say, you better be here next week. Yeah. Mm. All right. Staying committed to some valuable friendships. Come on, I think commitment's a big thing. So I would say for 2018, we should make it our goal. I'm going to stay committed because I think commitment is important. We live in a world where a lot of people are kind of like renegotiating their commitments and stuff, but I think we need to reinforce our commitments, amen? In our home, we need to reinforce our commitments to our marriages, to our kids, to raising godly children, amen? That's the kind of commitments we need. And I say for 2018, we set that as a spiritual goal. I'm going to make sure that my kids are growing up in a house where they know Jesus. Can I hear an amen? That's a good goal for us. So I think we need to stay committed. But another thing I think is that we should make it our goal to be a servant. To be a servant. When Jesus presented himself to us, he did not come to be this ruler. He came to be a servant. He came to serve, not to be served. And he said this, that if you want to be great, you must first become a servant. And if we were to do a poll, how many of you want a great year or a bad year? I'm assuming that every one of you would want a great year. Am I right? And if you want a bad year, we want to lay hands on you and pray for you. Because I don't know what's up with that. But we all want a great year. And let's take the wisdom of Jesus and put it in action. He said, if you want to be great, you got to first become a servant. And I think this year needs to be the year of the serve. Amen. That I'm going to approach this thing with my family as a servant. I'm going to approach this thing with my job as a servant. I'm going to approach the kingdom of God as a servant. And listen, servanthood isn't just something that you do. It's someone that you are. Amen? It's someone that you are. And if your whole world is wrapped up in you, you're not going to want to serve. You're going to want everyone to serve you. And that's why Jesus highlighted servanthood, so that we get our eyes off of ourselves and fix our eyes on him. Okay? So let's make it a goal this year. Let's be a servant. Okay? Here's another one. And this one might interest you. Steward what God has given you. Steward what God has given you. I want everyone in here to know this, that God has blessed you. Yes. Amen? Look at your neighbor and help me preach it. You might be able to preach it better than me. Look at them and say, you know God has blessed you. And if and look, I'm going to look at my wife right now. Look at me. You know God has blessed you. That was a good opportunity for you, man, right there. You missed it. Y'all all right back there? I hear like a bell ringing, man. They turn the fans on and it's hitting the pipe and drape. Okay. It's going to be all right. It ain't going to fall. Steward is someone who manages and uses all of the resources that God has given them to point people to him. It's taking what God has given you and using it for God's purposes. So watch this. If God has blessed you with it, it's not just for you. It's for him too. And can you take what God has given you and use it to bless others? Can you use it to honor him? Can you take those gifts, those talents, those abilities? I've said it like this before. Let's not just give our best to our career. Amen? Let's not just give our best to our career. Let's give our best to God as well. Amen? I think God deserves it. He gave it to us, so let's steward it. Let's use it for his glory. Let's use our gifts and our abilities, our talents, to serve God, to serve in his house. And maybe you're not a part of our dream team. Maybe you're not serving anywhere in the church. This would be a great opportunity for you to find a place so that you can begin to serve and use and steward those gifts and talents that God has given you. Using your finances. God has blessed you. Use your finances. Steward them to be a blessing, because there's a lot of people that need to be reached for Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's why we encourage you with the tithe and the offering, so that you can take what God has given you and use it to be a blessing. I just think that's a good spiritual goal for 2018. Amen. To use what God has given you to bless others. And some would say, well, I don't have anything. Yes, you do. God has blessed you. It may not be a lot, but God is happy with just a little, because he can multiply it. That's a message for another day. Here's another one that I think, and this one is super important. Make it our goal to seek God. Make it our goal to seek God. So watch this. I don't know how it works for you, but this is usually how it works for me. My tendency is to try to get everything taken care of first, and then I can do that. Because I want to eliminate all of these things and get them off of my mind so that I can be focused on what I really, really want to communicate with the Lord. And I want you to know, in all the years I've been trying to do this, I've never been able to get it all done. Come on, I'm helping a mama out right now who just feels like she can't get it all done. I've never been able to get it all done, but I still have found the value of seeking God. And I believe this year, 2018, we got to make it a goal that I am going to seek God. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Our temptation is to take care of all these things and then seek God. But he's giving us a little bit of order. He's saying, seek me first. And then all these things, they're going to be taken care of. Let's make that a spiritual goal for 2018. Amen? So watch this. I think if you ask around, I think most people are going to agree on these spiritual goals. And in fact, attempt to try to make them happen. But then it becomes a challenge after a little while. And have you ever wondered why good things become a challenge? Like seeking God, that is a good thing, am I right? I mean, we would all think that is very important. We should seek God. We should pray. We should worship. We should read our Bibles. These are like some very common things that we know that we should do. But then when we try to do it, at first it goes well, but then it starts to tailor off a little bit, and we're trying to figure out, why is that happening? Oh no, is the devil attacking me? And maybe the devil is attacking us, but sometimes because we've had a certain life pattern for so long, we're just not used to doing it. Amen? It's not because we don't want to. It's because our routine has been a certain way for so long that it's become natural to us. So when we try to add one of these goals to it, it just doesn't feel like it fits in there just right. That's why a person who makes a New Year's resolution, we're going to church every Sunday, bless God, we're going to be in church. And by the third week of the year, they're not there because it's not their pattern. It's not usual. They're used to doing all the things they've always done. And now to make that thing happen, they've really got to step into some territory that they're not comfortable in, because it's a routine, it's a pattern. And I believe this stuff that we're talking about with seeking God and stewarding the gifts that God has given us, all these different things, it's a matter of making it a pattern, making it a habit in our life. And I know right here, this is where the people are like, well, my relationship with the Lord is organic and I don't believe anything should be forced. Well, they have this thing called discipleship, and root word of disciple is discipline. I thought y'all were going to be enthused about that. I don't know. I just expected like a roaring crowd, like, yes, discipline. And it's funny because in the gym, it's all about discipline, baby. It's like hard work pays off. No guts, no glory, you know, all that stuff. But then it comes to church. No, the Lord doesn't discipline. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Because he loves us. There's discipline. So the deal is, we have these habits. We got this routine, or this pattern that we've been living by. And I want to ask you this, what happens when our pattern becomes a distraction from the main thing? What happens? What happens when getting the kids to school and getting to work on time and maybe swinging by Chick-fil-A if we got some time? And not the one on Capitol Circle, because that ain't happening. Or Bannerman. I don't know if you've been to that one lately, but you ain't getting in there. The routine, though, it becomes the master of our lives, but we feel so comfortable in our routine. And listen, I'm not trying to damage your routine, but what I am saying, though, is has the comfort of your routine became a distraction for seeking the Lord? Has our comforts overcome our spiritual growth? And I think this is a lot of the issues that we deal with in our daily lives, because there are people with every intention to grow spiritually this year. I think there are so many people that are sitting in this room right now, and you know in your heart that you need to grow. You know deep inside, this is my year. I need to get closer to the Lord. Last year was a struggle, and I drifted away from the Lord, but this year I really, really need to get close. But yet the routine, and even Cynthia was mentioning it a little bit earlier about the excitement about getting back into the routine. I love the routine because it's easier to manage, but what happens if we're settling for management of life and we're missing out on all the blessings that God really has for us? That's how you grow old and look back and say, I wish I would have, and I wish we, you know, like that's how. And I don't want to leave this earth with spiritual regrets. I don't want to leave this earth and stand before God and God say, you could have done this, and you could have done that, and you could have done that. And you're like, well, why didn't I, Lord? And he said, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out too. And so we say things like this, I've just been so busy, got so much going on. And sometimes whenever you hear somebody tell you that they're busy and you know a little bit about their life, you're like, busy? The other day you said you had a Netflix marathon. Busy? I hadn't had a day off in 3 weeks. Like, you know, that's the kind of stuff. And then you're ready to fight, and then you got to repent because you got angry at your brother. So now the whole fast is different, you know. You're supposed to fast to seek the Lord. Now you got to mend something with somebody. So today we're kicking off this new series called Frequency. And what we're going to talk about is setting up your 2018 so that you can grow spiritually, you can cut through the noise and seek God. But we're also going to talk about how frequent are you going to the Lord. We're going to talk about hearing God next week. And so I want to encourage you, if you're interested in learning about hearing from God, like when you pray and stuff, I would encourage you to come here next Sunday. This is going to be an awesome message. But today I want to go to a section of scripture, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And this is a story that you've probably heard preached before. And there's a little controversy in this story. And I'm not going to attempt to dive in it, but I'm going to pull some things out of there today that I think is so important for this whole message about frequency and about setting goals and about keeping the main thing the main thing. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. This is what it says. You can follow along on the screen that had notes in your worship guides. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. How many of y'all heard a message about this before? And already you're like, I'm a Martha. And others, you're like, I'm a Mary. And I'm telling you, that message just drives me nuts, man. Because everybody automatically assumes I'm one or the other, and they forget all about Jesus in the story. So anyway, let's get off of that soapbox and get back to this. Okay? And so verse 40, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. And there was one phrase when I read this that grabbed my attention, and it said this: Martha was distracted by the big. I know you want to say dinner, but it says distracted by the big. And the more I kept reading this, I just couldn't get away from distracted by the big, distracted by the big. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you? And I'm trying to put a little tone on it because I feel like this is what she would sound like. Lord, doesn't it just seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? I mean, you're feeling it, huh? Some of y'all, you heard that over Christmas break with your kids. This is what's happening right here, okay? Tell her to come and help me. And she's just feeling like Jesus is about to cover me. He's about to take care of business. And watch this. This is so awesome. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha. I like the way Jesus speaks. That was like smooth. My dear Martha. You're so worried and upset over all these details. And everybody who is in the details right now are just flipping out. You see what we have done to scripture? Like, as soon as it says one thing that we're like all about, we're like, uh-uh, no, Nuh-uh, you can't say that. And Jesus is just trying to handle a situation here. He's not coming at you, bro, okay? He's just trying to handle a situation right here. And he says to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. And I think he's just saying, look, leave her alone. I think that's what he's saying. He just made it sound special, okay? So this portion of scripture, I've heard it preached several times, shows the contrast between two people, two personalities. You got the person who's all about serving God, and you got the person who's all about seeking God. And what I've seen happen is people have categorized themselves according to these two personalities, and they feel good about it. It's like, oh, I'm a Martha. And so I'm not even going to ask, because some of you can't wait to raise your hand and say, I'm a Martha. And others of you who like the prayer stuff and like deep worship and you want like all night worship nights, you're like, I'm a Mary. And you're proud of it. And we get so much pride from these identities that I think we're missing something in here, because we want to justify who we are so bad. And sometimes we work so hard to justify who we are that we miss who God wants us to be. So you're looking at this story. Let's see what we can learn from this. Jesus, the Messiah, the Almighty One, the Son of God, is in town. And of all the people and all the places to visit, he chooses to go hang out with Mary and Martha. That's a pretty high privilege, okay? So there's this honorable person that is coming to their home, and you are going to expect that they are going to give him their attention. Am I right? I mean, if somebody important comes, you want to give them their attention. And so you got Mary who's spending time with Jesus, but you got Martha who really wants to have a good dinner. And I don't know about you, but I like having a good dinner all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, not just sometimes, all the time. I like good dinners. And so if you invite me to your house for a good dinner, let's do this thing. All right, nothing wrong with it. And so some people, like I said, going to support Martha because somebody's got to fix the food so we can eat. Right? And some going to support Mary because we know that we need to spend more time at the feet of Jesus. But what is Jesus saying here? Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Dinner's the usual thing. You're going to do it tonight. Tomorrow night, every night this week, you're going to make dinner preparations. Whether you're going to Moe's because kids eat free. I'm not advertising. I'm just trying to help you know, because you want to save some money. But we're fasting, so we don't have to worry about that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not really the fact of the routine that is big deal, because we do this every day. It's the implications of it that makes it feel bigger. It's, how is this going to look to Jesus? Or is this going to be honorable enough for him? And you know, if you hosted Christmas at your house, you wanted everything to be just right. And so you took out a home improvement loan, and you replaced the doors, and you put new trim, and you repainted everything. And next thing you know, it's like, we don't have any more money for Christmas, but boy, our house looks good. And We feel this pressure, not because these things are so big, but because of the amount of pressure that it gives us. That's the big thing. Because like I said, dinner's not a big deal. I mean, it's really not. I mean, they do make Easy Mac. And no one would know if you got the Velveeta kind and just did some good chicken nuggets on the side. I mean, look, my kids will rock that meal all the time. And we do the gluten-free chicken, don't worry. I mean, you could dress it up and impress a lot of people. It's not a big deal, but the implications of it just make it feel so big. Can I be honest? I mean, Christmas Eve service, I mean, the implications of it, it just put a lot of stress on me. And I do want to apologize for those who sat in this section that were sprayed with snow. Dave was helping us to bless our crowd. I told Dave before church, I said, I might throw you under the bus today. Y'all don't know which Dave I'm talking about, but he knows. And so, and there was still snow on the floor, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, the stress of that service, though, it's just another service. That's it. It just so happens to be on Christmas Eve, and people are going to sing. People are going to dress. I wore a bow tie. I mean, I was feeling pretty good about it, but the implications of it, because it's supposed to be so good, and the implications of it add stress, and when it adds stress, the things that you really, really should be thinking about and worrying about, you're not worried about, because all of your stress has redirected your action towards something that matters so much to you. And this is what happens in the course of our everyday life. Because we know that we should seek God. We know we should serve. We know we should steward. We know we should do all these things. But the stress and the implications of all of this stuff in our life, it just works it up and it just feels so big. And what if we're so distracted by the big that we miss the main course? You said, I knew it. I knew you were going to take up for Mary. It ain't about Mary. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. This woman, Mary, she realizes I don't get much time with him. And here he is in person. I want to see him. I want to spend some time with him. And this is what I find, that we let a bunch of little things add up. And it turns into big stress. And that becomes our big distraction. Those little things that add up become our big distractions. And those little things that become big, watch this, they affect the frequency in which we go to God. It's not as much as we used to because I got so much on my plate now. And here's the reality. It's not that it's so much more on your plate as there was before. It's that the implications of it are heavier. It's heavier now. I mean, I got a kid in high school. The implications of it now are bigger. Like, you can't make a C. Like, that's not going to work. Like, back then, the day when it didn't matter what your record said. I mean, we can work. But now, you got to make good grades. It's still school, though, y'all. It's still school, but the implications are greater, and so it adds stress, and that stress is what it contributes to our distraction, and that's what affects our frequency. And so now the things that we should be doing, the things we know we need to do, we can't even get to because I got to take care of all these little things, and once I get all the little things taken care of, then I can go do this big thing. I feel like I'm talking to somebody here today. Okay. So Mary, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. All the distractions were pushed aside so she could be with Jesus. And I thought, this is what 21 days of prayer and fasting is about. And this is going to be hard for some folks, not because they're going to make a decision not to eat, but because it's going to challenge routine, pattern. It's going to challenge us in areas that we feel like we already have under control. And if it wasn't under control, we can work a few things with it to get it back under control. But I feel like 21 days of prayer and fasting, what it does is it puts things in God's hands and let him be in control. And the question for us today is, are you okay with that? Are you okay with God being in control? And I don't think we're always okay with that. I think sometimes we are. Like when we're headed for vacation, bless God, God's in control. If it all falls apart, it's fine with me. We'll come back and deal with it. But when we're not on vacation, it's like, bring it to me. I got to take care of it all. What are we doing? We're adding that stress up. We're not realizing how we're managing ourselves, that we're going to overdo it. It's going to become big distractions for us. So this is what I want to do. I want to introduce this 21 days of prayer and fasting to you. I want to tell you why we're doing this, okay? Every year at the beginning of the new year, we take 21 days, the first month, to intentionally seek God and set the course for our year. And this is the goal of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. I want you to hear this. This is the goal of it all. Before you start, I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God. The goal of our fast is this. It's to simply draw closer to God. That's the goal of it. It's to draw closer to God. Okay? So what is fasting? It is to refrain from something for a period of time in order to focus more on seeking God. I want to just put it very simple. It's to refrain from something for a period of time so I can set a new course in my life, so I can get a new way of doing things, so that I can put God first, so I can make sure that I'm setting the time to seek him. Instead of trying to take care of all of this first, I'm putting God first, and then I can take care of all these things. It helps us to get things back in order in our life, okay? So this is what we see in the Bible, that fasting is a way to eliminate distractions for a spiritual purpose. Now, when you see like Moses who goes on the mountain for 40 days, that's just not realistic for us. I mean, if you go to the mountains for 40 days, I want to go, okay? But that's just not real. You know what I'm saying? And then you see Jesus that gets away for 40 days, no food, nothing. I mean, this dude is doing like the real deal fast. Keep in mind, he is Jesus, okay? So he could do stuff like that. But they got away from everything. We don't have the ability to get away from everything, but I found this. It's not everything that we got to get away from, but there are some things that we know we need to get away from. And that's where fasting comes in. Those are the things that we need to key in on fasting. Okay, so some of the things that people have fasted from, and there's a variety of things. A lot of people are just straight-laced, old school. The only thing they believe they should fast from is food. I think food is a good one, okay, because it starts messing with you. When you don't eat, you don't believe me, don't eat for a little while. Why do you think Snickers does that commercial the way they do it? See, I just mentioned you're laughing because you know what I'm talking about. When you don't eat and you're hungry, you get cranky. And it started when you were a baby. And all them mamas with babies right now know what I'm talking about. Because when that baby's hungry, they make noise. And so do people. And some of you are making some noise because you're hungry. I need you to let that settle a little bit. Because if you're complaining about everything, it's probably because you're hungry and the things you're eating ain't satisfying. Okay? It's time to eat the bread of life. Okay? So fasting, you can fast from food. Some people choose to fast from a hobby or an activity. I've heard of people fasting from social media, which I think is a great one. There's a lot of different things that you can fast from. And I want to encourage you, you can always go to our website. We got a lot of information about fasting on there. So make sure you go to our website and read it up. But here's the deal. What you fast is not as important as the strength of your focus on God as you fast. Because I have seen people that have gone for the gusto and have fasted for food and from food. And I'm telling you, man, they are less spiritual during the fast than they were when they were eating. And it's aggravating because they walk around like, yeah, the Lord led me to fast from all this food. And they just look like the whole world's falling apart. I'm like, bro, you're getting your reward right now, bragging about it. Like, this is what it's about. It's about putting that aside. So like if you fast from food, let's say you decide to fast lunch every day for 21 days. So that doesn't mean that you like keep working through lunch. That means I'm going to take this time at lunch that I would go and eat, and I'm going to redirect it to focusing on the Lord. So I'm going to pull out my Bible. I'm going to pull up my Bible app, and I'm going to begin to read the Word. I'm going to spend some time with God in prayer and replace something that I like with something that I need. And what am I trying to do? I'm trying to reestablish some things in my life and perhaps even set a new routine. But the whole purpose of it is quit this for a period of time so I can start getting closer to God. That's the point of the fast. So as you're praying about what you're going to fast from, I do want to encourage you all, jump in on the fast with us. Consider what you're going to fast from, but also make it a point that I'm going to take that time that I would spend doing that and dedicate it to spending time with the Lord. If you just quit doing it, like some people, they just say, I'm going to fast food, and then they don't spend any time with God. That's called a diet. I'm serious. That's all it is. It's a diet. And a lot of people, I know people who are like, I'm a fast so I can lose weight. That's not the point of it. Like the point, and you may lose weight. I mean, I lose weight every year when I fast. But that's not the point. The point is, I'm getting closer to the Lord. That is what we're trying to accomplish. My relationship with God is growing. And so I want to encourage you to begin to pray about what the Lord would have you to fast, okay? So how do I do this? I wanted to give you some practical to help you to get this thing started, okay? A few steps on how to get started. Number one, you got to set your objective, okay? Start out by deciding why you're going to fast. And we mentioned earlier, yes, you want to get close to the Lord. That's an obvious one. Spiritual renewal. But maybe there are some needs that you have in your life, okay? Maybe you need some healing. Maybe you need some wisdom in a particular area. I talked to a lady this week. Her husband's got some big decisions about a job. Maybe it's a specific issue. There's some things that you're going to be praying about. And I would say this. Instead of trying to focus on every single issue in your whole entire life, because some of you, you got lists. Like list upon list. And I just don't know how you're going to get a scripture verse for every single one of those, like in 21 days. Because some of that stuff's been brewing for 21 years. You know? I would say this. Take the top 2 to 3 things and put them on your list. Those things that are really driving the stress level of your home, really pushing you, maybe creating tension. Put that at the top and make that, this is the things that we're really seeking God about. And let me say this, don't overwhelm yourself. Challenge yourself, but don't overwhelm yourself. There's no need for anyone to try to pull off a spiritual Superman here. okay? Because this is what fasting is not. It's not proving to God that I can do this for you. It's not me saying, God, I'm suffering to get your attention so that you will come and do something. That is not at all what fasting is all about. That's what religion tries to do to us. It tries to make us earn something from God. All we're trying to do is get on God's page and try to, instead of trying to get God to get on our page. Amen? I'm just trying to refocus, trying to get some things straight so I can see a godly perspective of this. And a lot of people, listen, the things that they're praying for halfway through the fast, they're like, that ain't even the point of this, because now I realize the whole point, all my issue, it wasn't that, it was how I saw it. And now that I've spent time with God, I realize that my perspective, my attitude just needed to change about it. It's amazing what it can do for you in your life, okay? So set your objective, all right? Ask the Holy Spirit, pray about it. Lord, what do you want me to fast? How do you want me to do this? Which direction are we going to go with this thing, okay? And I would say this, write it down. Make a decision. You got some time this afternoon? Just say, Lord, what do you think? And it doesn't have to turn into this big, long spiritual event where you got to wait all day and all night and with your journal underneath the lamp just waiting for the Lord to tell you something exactly. Because he may just make you feel like, you know what, just turn off the social media for 21 days. Okay, Lord, let's do this. And that time that you would spend with social media, just spend it with the Lord. And you know what? For some of you, you would spend a lot of time with God. I mean, can you imagine as much as you scroll through Instagram, you're reading like the Bible app? Man, you might preach someday. Here's the next thing. Choose your plan. Okay? On our website, we have some types of fasts that are detailed. Okay, some food fast. Some people, if you've ever heard of the Daniel fast before, which is pretty much strictly veggies and fruits, there's stuff on there that you can look at, just trying to give you some resources to help you to make some decisions about what you're going to fast. But I think you need to set a plan, okay, and not just wing it, because a lot of people wing it and then they don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like every day, I'm just going to pray today and see which way the Lord leads me. You want to go to Waffle House? You know, it's kind of like that. And while they're at Waffle House, they're scrolling through social media and stuff. Anyway, go to our website, check out the different types of fasts. But let me say this. Everybody's at different places in their lives. So maybe the Lord will lead you to do something, and then somebody just comes up there and says, yeah, I'm going to fast one meal a week. And here you are. You're trying to be a super trooper and, like, fast every day, every meal. And you're like, dude, you're not even for real. You know, like, let's not get into the comparison of what we're fasting and what somebody else is fasting. Stick to what God tells you to do. But understand this, we're all at different places in our lives. Your job can possibly have an effect. Like, if you're fasting food and you work construction, it's not a good idea to fast all food and go out there and walk on the roof of a house. I'm just saying, like, you got to use some wisdom in this thing. Our daily schedules, health conditions, all of that stuff are all in different. So I can hear somebody, yeah, my health condition, I got to look at social media. Anyway, I'm picking on that one because it's fun too. So you can fast from a food or an activity, a juice fast, which some people will choose just to do juice the whole time during the fast. Like I said, the Daniel fast. Some people may decide to do water, just no food and just drink water for 21 days, okay? But here's the bottom line. Fasting should have a high level of challenge to it. I'm going to say that. A high level of challenge. I'm just not going to watch my shows for the next 21 days, but I got them DVR'd. And that's fine if you do that. But what I'm saying, though, is it's something that needs to challenge you, something that needs to stretch you. If it doesn't stretch you, it's not going to change you. Amen? So make sure it's something that is going to challenge you. But know your body. With the food stuff, know your body, know your options, and most importantly, seek God in prayer and follow what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. And for some of you, this will be the first time you've ever done it. And you're like, I don't even know where to start. Lord, what do you think I should fast? I'm serious. I would pray that. That is the exact prayer that I pray. Like, I'm letting you in on a little secret there. That's the prayer. Lord, what do you want me to fast? And it's not always this audible, Wade, thou shalt fast food for 21 days. Sometimes it's just, don't eat this. Is it? Anything else? And you just have this gut feeling of, I know what I need to do. And I would say, go with that. How many of you are feeling like you're going to do this? All right, good. All right, good. I'm excited. Remember, though, the goal of fasting, it's not just to do without food or some activity, but it's to draw closer to God, okay? The next thing is this. Choose your fasting schedule. choose your schedule, okay? And this is where the personal decision kicks in. And again, all this is considered through prayer. Maybe you're not going to fast food for 21 days straight, but maybe you say, I'm going to fast lunch for 21 days. Make that your plan and stick to it. Not changing it like after day two. Oh, I just can't do without lunch. You know, or what if I eat at 10:15? Is that considered lunch? You know, like that's the stuff. I'm serious. When our church back at home started doing this stuff, I can tell you some stories that would just make you laugh so hard. I mean, we had guys that were like trying to like juice everything, like hamburgers and stuff. I know you think it's gross, but man, some of y'all are like, that's a good idea. But I'm just trying to give you some ideas of some things that you can do if you decide to do food. Maybe you decide, maybe one day of the week, I'm not going to eat at all on that day of the week, but I'm going to take that day and dedicate it. Just like I said, it depends on your schedule, depends on your workload, it depends on a lot of different things. Just make sure it's challenging, but consider what the Lord would have you do and just follow through with it, okay? But during the fast, you want to spend time with God and draw closer to Him. And this is some things you can do, like reading your Bible, okay? Praying, worshiping, putting on some worship music. If you have a Spotify account or even iTunes Radio, there's a lot of great worship teams out of it. Just type in Hillsong, and they'll give you a ton of different references and other worship teams that are out there that you can listen to and check out. But one of the things that we want to provide for you on our website, we have a prayer guide that you can follow. We got some pictures. E, go ahead and post one of those pictures. You can go to our website. It's on there, and you can click on prayer guide, and it's going to go day by day, each day, and it has a topic. And it has a little short devotional, and it has even a place where some scripture are. And so you can go to our website, and the reason we're going to post it on social media as well. But we put it on our website for those of you who are fasting from social media so you don't have to get yourself in trouble and lead yourself into temptation. Amen? Trying to take care of you, okay? But we cannot shut the restaurants down for all you folks who are fasting from food. So you can go to our website, and you can find the prayer guide on there, as well as information on the different types of fasts. But as Cynthia mentioned earlier, we're going to do these prayer nights. It's Wednesday nights at our annex, right here on Capitol Circle next to Little Caesars. That's the easiest way to find it. Capitol Circle Northeast next to Little Caesars Pizza. We're going to have child care for the younger kids. If you have older kids, you can bring them. Listen, we're going to be flexible with them, but we need you to be flexible with us as well, okay? So, like, if they're freaking out, you got to help us with that, all right? But let's bring them because they need to see you reading your Bible. Come on. They need to see you praying. And maybe this would be a good opportunity for you to grab your family and say, hey, guys, let's pray together. How cool would that be? And at those times of prayer, we're going to have some worship time. We've got some guys from the worship team that's going to come and help us out with that. We'll do some worship. We're going to have some times where we'll have communion available. Maybe you and your family want to get together and have communion together. We'll have some personal ministry time. Maybe you need someone to pray with you about something. Cynthia and I will be there. We'll have some other folks there available. And maybe you just need someone to agree with you in prayer about some things in your life. This is an awesome time for you to get into a place where corporately, together, we're seeking God. This is also an opportunity. You say, Pastor Wade, I don't even know how to pray. We want to help you. We will personally tutor you. I'm telling you, Cynthia and I will personally tutor you with prayer. And we will help you learn how to do it so that you can pray and be confident in your prayer time. Amen? So that's going to be Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Like I said, we're going to have child care for the younger ones. And I want to encourage you to come out because I believe this. I believe that if we increase the frequency of time that we're spending with God, we'll be able to tune in and hear His voice. And listen, you can hear preaching, but there is nothing like hearing a word from God. Because some of you, you're looking for an answer, but what you need is a word. Because the Bible says that that word will not return void. Come on, the words of God are eternal. And I just want to pray over you this morning. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you're new to this. Maybe you've never fasted before. You're like, I don't even have a clue what I'm getting into. And it's okay. Because there are people who've been around church for a long time. And they've been doing it. And they know exactly what they're getting into. But they're not letting God change their life. Come on. Come on. Let's get for real. Kicking off 2018. I want to see Jesus do some work in my life. I want to see Jesus do some work in our church. And I know you need God to do some things in your life. And this isn't, it can't just be, I wish upon a star kind of prayers. Amen? It's, Lord, I need you to work in my family. I need you to save my marriage. I need you to change my child because they're heading down the road. That's the kind of stuff that we need to be coming together and praying about. Amen? And so I want to encourage you as we kick off this new year, let's get serious about seeking God. So why don't you bow your heads this morning? And even in our short time today, just sharing these things, I know that there are folks in here who are challenged. You're challenged by even some of the things that I mentioned today because you enjoy your routine. It brings a lot of comfort to you. And just the mention of stretching that routine a little bit, it messes with you. But yet at the same time, you know that you need to spend that time with Jesus because you need him to do some things in you. Yeah, the people in your lives, they need help too, but you know that you need him to do something in you. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Wade, over the next 21 days, I need God to do something in my life. Maybe you're dealing with an anger issue. Maybe some things have happened and just a lot of anger has been stirred toward people. Maybe it's a physical problem that maybe you've received a diagnosis and you need healing in your body. Maybe you're wrestling with a decision about which way to go, the future. Maybe it's job decisions. Maybe you're at a point in your family where some things are really, really struggling. And maybe in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you know what? Maybe it's better if we just end this thing. You're wrestling with it. Some of you, it's returning. It's getting back to where you know that you need to be. But if you would say, Pastor Wade, I need God to do something in my life. I just want you real quick, would you lift a hand? Just so I know, I need God to do something in me. Some of you, you're dissatisfied, and it seems like with everything, the reason that you're dissatisfied could be you're not doing what God's asked you to do. Maybe your focus has been everywhere else, but on the inside you know that God's got something that you need to be doing. He told you to do it. Maybe you've been running. And these next 21 days could be the time that you get it back on track. And I want to pray for you. And if you raise that hand this morning, why don't you just lift both your hands right now? Like you're opening your arms up to the Lord. Father, I pray over every individual in here today that has their hands raised, that need you to work in their lives. They need the wisdom that comes from you. They need the peace. They need the direction. There's a lot of different things that we're believing for, but we know, Lord, that you are the answer. You are the answer. And so we're setting aside this time to intentionally seek you. We're putting some things aside. And Lord, my prayer is this, is that as they cry out to you, Lord, that you will answer them. And I pray even this morning, right now, as their hands are raised and they're reaching out to you, Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit will just give them reassurance that you're with them, that you haven't left them, that you're going to speak to their hearts and you're going to bring clarity. You're going to bring answers. You're going to bring healing. You're going to bring resolve, Lord. And I'm praying that these next 21 days will not just change the course of the year, but will change their lives forever. I pray that you will reestablish some new patterns and new routines in our lives, God, but the kind of routine that puts you first. So Holy Spirit, today we hand over the keys of our life. And we ask you, Lord, to take control. I pray, Lord, you begin to speak the kind of fast. I pray, Lord, you would lay out the plans and make it very, very plain, make it clear to them. And Lord, we're excited to see the work that you're going to do in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, that was a God moment just now. That was a God moment. I sense the Spirit of God here. Today, I sense the Spirit of God here today, and there's people that are sitting in this room today that are away from God, and usually I would have everyone bow their head and close their eyes, but there are people in this room today. You came here today because you knew I needed to get back in church. I needed to get back with the Lord, but there are people here today, you've been away from God, and today is the day to renew your commitment. Today is the day to submit your life completely to Jesus. Let him be the Lord and Savior of your life. Amen. And today is your day. Today is the day that you've been waiting for, and today is the day
that you commit your life completely to Jesus. You say, Pastor Wade, that is me. I'm here today because I need to recommit my life to Jesus. I need to commit my life to the Lord. I want you, even though everybody might be looking at you, this is a public thing. I want you to slip a hand up and say, that's why. Yep. That's it. It's time to recommit my life to the Lord. We want to pray with you today. As a church family, we do this every Sunday because we believe that this is the day that a person can commit their life to Jesus. This is the day of salvation. And so, come on, church family. We do this all together. We're going to pray this out loud. And I just want to simply ask you to repeat it after us. And this is the best way to start your new year. Amen. By committing your life completely to Jesus, letting Him come and forgive your sins and give you a fresh start. Let's pray this together, church. Say, Dear Lord, I thank you that you're a God who gives me another chance. And I ask you today to forgive my sins. There are mistakes that I've made, and there are things that I have willfully done that I know are wrong, and they displease you. But I thank you that you're a God of mercy and a God of grace, and you sent Jesus to pay the price for all of my sins, so I could be forgiven. So I ask you to forgive me today. I commit my life completely to you, and I choose to follow you. I surrender all my life to you. Lord, I'm yours, and I thank you that you're going to change me and make me a brand new person. And today I know my past is forgiven, and I have hope for my future because of you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give him a hand.